السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers. Alhamdulillah, with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal, wherever I went, whether it was Karachi or whether it was in South Africa, up country or wherever we go, without exaggeration, I meet people who tell me that, Maulana, we benefited from your kitab tafweez, the bayan on tafweez, or my daughter benefited from it, or my wife benefited from it, or somebody or the other was suffering from depression and they benefited from it. Without exaggeration, large number of people telephonically and by email and by letters have indicated of the benefit that they attained by listening to that bayan on tafweez. So I attribute this merely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal. Definitely it is Allah ta'ala's ihsan and fazal, because otherwise it is the same thing which you hear normally. So I decided to again read this bayan. This time I will read it and we will add on a few things here and there, so that the tape can also be upgraded, as they say. Every year people want to upgrade the car model. Lucky Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made nikah until dying day. So we will upgrade this tape also. Who knows, it will benefit whom, inshallah. And also I will get a chance for, or I will get the opportunity for the first time since this book was published to read the whole thing. Because I didn't get a chance to read it. I was only hearing about what benefits people achieved. So it states, Ulama-i Kiram, dear brothers and sisters, depression, it seems, has become synonymous with living in a society overrun with innumerable problems. A society in which there are innumerable problems, then there must be depression. It is an ailment which has unfortunately reached epidemic proportions. It's an ailment which has reached epidemic proportions. Any way you go, this is one of the major complaints. A wife may be bashed by a husband, she's abused, so she's going through depression. The husband, sometimes it is not his fault, the wife has left him and gone for worldly reasons, material reasons. So now he's depressed. Sometimes there are children that are involved. They are traumatized. Children are depressed. Sometimes it's a business deal. Something went wrong. The businessman is depressed. Sometimes the person who had a very good job, a very good employment, and due to retrenchment, the person lost his job. Now he got depressed. So many different factors. People get depressed. So at such a time, how important and necessary it is that we should understand what is tafweez. So it says that this has reached epidemic proportions. In the search for a solution, we sink deeper and deeper into the abyss of depression. Now when the person is searching for a solution, he seems to get deeper and deeper into more depression. Why? Because he is searching for it in the wrong place. He is searching for the solution to that problem in the wrong place. So instead of getting out of that problem, the person gets into more depression. For example, if that person is in financial problem, so now he believes that if I have a bank manager who is my friend, he will give me a big loan and I will get out of my problems. So now he takes money now on interest. Before he wasn't borrowing on interest. Now although he's got plentiful of other property and other things, but he starts borrowing on interest, and instead of getting out of that depressed state, the person gets into more depression. hardly a day passes without some person complaining about his failures or the acute depression that he or she is suffering due to various factors. So what I wish to discuss very briefly is tafweez. If we learn tafweez, then we have indeed found the antidote to depression. Tafweez is resigning one's will to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There are different meanings of tafweez, but in this context, this is what it means. That the person resigns his will to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then he cannot suffer depression. Then he will not suffer anxiety. Because happiness and sorrow, these are states of the mind. It is a state of the heart. What we term as sorrow and what we term as happiness, these are states of the mind. In the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in everything there's wisdom, there's hikmah. So there's no such thing as sorrow and grief. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes a decision about someone that he must go through a certain problem in his life, then that decision Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made on the basis of his knowledge, foreknowledge, and Allah ta'ala has made on the basis of his wisdom. Because it is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has nothing to gain. Allah ta'ala is the one who has nothing to gain in putting any person through some difficulty or giving him some wealth and property and happiness. Allah ta'ala is the only one who has nothing to gain. Even if parents are doing it for the children, then still at the back of their mind they want to see the child happy. And if the child is going to be happy, then they will be happy. Or they have got that this child will grow up and then will educate and then will get some degrees and qualifications, and then this child will help me and assist me in my business and will take care of me in my old age. They've got some kind of intentions behind it. Everyone and anyone in this world has got some kind of benefit that the person wants to derive from the good that the person does. If the person is a very pious person, is a muttaqi person, is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he too has got a matlab behind it. He too has got a matlab. But the difference is that his matlab is that my Allah has become happy with me. But he's also got some kind of intention behind it. That my Allah has become happy. Or that I must get Jannat, or that I must get rewards for these good deeds that I am doing. So everyone has got some kind of motive. It may be a good motive, it may be a bad one, but the thing is that there is some motive behind it. When a person does something good for someone, or when a person punishes someone, or injures someone, or harms someone, then there too there is some motive behind it. The person wants to take out his grudge, he wants to take out revenge, or he wants to make tarbiyah of the child. So there can be some kind of motive even behind that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the only one who does anything and everything only out of his wisdom. And there's no benefit in it for him at all. Allah ta'ala doesn't benefit one bit in whatever he puts his servant through. If the entire ummah or if the entire mankind has to become muttaqi, pious, walis, and make sajda and zikr and tilawat and ibadat and stay away from sins, Allah Ta'ala, it will not increase his glory one bit. And if everybody becomes shaitans of the, then too it is not going to decrease Allah Ta'ala's glory one bit. So we are not going to benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way. And also if the entire ummah suffers, of what benefit is that to Allah Ta'ala? And if the entire ummah enjoys all the ni'mats and no suffering at all, then too there's no benefit. So it is only he who has got nothing but wisdom behind whatever he does. And the simple example is that of parents. Now there's a little children, because the father is the Abba and Allah Ta'ala is the Rabba. So in this, whether he's the Abba or is the Rabba, if that person is a true Abba, is a true father, we are not talking about the fathers of these days, many of them who will dump their children. But I'm talking about the real fathers and the true fathers, the genuine fathers. And the genuine mothers, why we have to say genuine these days, and true fathers and true mothers, is because if you look at Europe, you look at America, you look at the Western world, you look at practically all countries of the world, the majority of the disbelievers and a large percentage of the believers these days, they cannot take qasam and say that this child is my child. That is what has happened today because of our attitude changing. We have become westernized in our outlook. We talk about socializing. The friends, when they travel out with their wives, then they must eat together, they must picnic together, they must enjoy the music together and the fun and entertainment together. Afterwards, we do not know whose child who is bearing. And this is not fantasy world I'm talking about reality. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So therefore we have to talk about, this is why people say, why is it that children haven't got these days respect for the fathers and mothers and all that? There are many other reasons. But besides that, this is also one of the reasons. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the only one who does not benefit in any way. So what I was explaining is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He puts any person through any kind of trial or hardship, yes, I was talking about Abba and Rabba, that you take the simple example, the analogy of a father or a mother. Now they will feed the child, they will clothe the child, they will educate the child, they will buy toys for the child, they will buy games for the, and they will try to pamper the child because they love the child. So out of love, they do everything for the child. Why doesn't the stranger do all that for that child? The parents, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, has put that love into their hearts, and because of that love that they have, so they give those children everything that they desire. They try to pamper them and give them everything. But if that child becomes very naughty and becomes rebellious, then now and again the mother will give one spank to the child. Now and again the father too also will reprimand the child or give him one shot. Sometimes the mother will be screaming at the child, and sometimes the father will be screaming. And we have seen with our own eyes that sometimes when the mother is beating that child is still clinging on to the mother's garment. Instead of running away, it's still clinging on. So we say that it is a process of tarbiyah which involves both things. In the process of tarbiyah, there is sometimes pampering, there is sometimes giving of gifts, there is sometimes feeding and clothing and nursing and taking care of the needs and the requirements and even of the luxuries. And sometimes it requires reprimanding, scolding. Now if the child you're giving food to, you're giving drink to, you're giving clothes to, you're giving everything, but the child doesn't go to school, doesn't go to madrasa. Now the principal is saying that your child hasn't come for the past three or four days or five days. Now what will the father say? That I'm giving you all these things and why are you still not going to school? Why are you not doing what you're supposed to be doing? So in that anger, sometimes the father may slap the child too. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving all the ni'mats of sight, of hearing, of speech, of wealth and of home and transport, and so many ni'mats He is blessing us with, and then He said that now you must be obedient to Me. Now if the person is rebellious, then now and again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a slap too. Now and again Allah ta'ala gives a little bit of shake up too. So that is the process of tarbiyah. Then we will say that there, but what about the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in? What about Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What about the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam? Where did they disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that they were given so much of trials? Now they, it is for the sake of the ummah that they are sent to lead and to be a shepherd of, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes their tarbiyah directly. That their tarbiyah is made in that form that they are put through tests and trials. For them it's a test and trial. Allah Ta'ala wants to show the disbelievers that these are My true servants, these are My true messengers. So there is great wisdom again there why the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are put through trials. And it is said in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that they go through the most trials, most difficulties. Summal amsal fal amsal. Then whoever is closer to them, that is the way they will go through it too. But then so many times I have mentioned that their difficulties and trials are such. Many times I have given this example. It is exactly like that examiner who has set a very, very difficult paper for the candidates. For the pupils writing the examination, the examiner has set a very difficult paper. Now when the paper is looked at, the student says, very difficult. So the examiner, he is walking past. He said, what's the problem? He says, very difficult paper. He said, well, don't worry, put your hand into My hand. I will write the answers for you. Then will there be any difficulty? Then there will be no difficulty. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He's putting somebody through a trial so that He may show the world the ishq that this person has for Him, to show the world that how this person is prepared to accept everything from his Lord and from his Rabb, and to differentiate and to separate the believers from the disbelievers, and to elevate their status and position. When Allah Ta'ala puts somebody through it, then he is the one that gives sabr also. Allah Ta'ala puts sabr into that person's life. He's able to take those trials. And in the midst of those trials also, the person will bloom like a flower. Why? Because it's a test from Allah Ta'ala. It's not an azab. So it states here that hardly a day passes without some person complaining about his failure of the acute depression that he is suffering due to various reasons. Yes, also what happens is that if a person is only prepared to accept the Zaat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he says that I love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we say you love Allah Ta'ala. But what comes from Allah Ta'ala, do you love that also? I mean, if the person is accepting the person of Allah Ta'ala or the Zaat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he must also accept whatever is coming from Allah Ta'ala, the actions of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the decisions of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then he must also accept that. If a person says that he dearly loves someone, but he only is prepared to accept whatever comes, which we term as sweet, then he accepts. But anything bitter, then the person doesn't want to accept. Then we will say there's no true love. So in the same way, if the person is prepared to accept good health from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and be happy in his heart that my Allah gave me good health, so in the same way, if it's ill health also, he must have that kind of happiness in the heart that it is from my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so therefore I must accept his decision. Of course, repeatedly I've said this does not mean that you must not make use of tadbir, which we will come across inshallah, that tadbir, making use of the means. That if the person is sick, he will definitely make use of the means. He will go to the doctor, take medication. If the person hasn't got employment, then he must go to the bazaar, to the marketplace. He must go to the shops, ask somebody for employment. He must search like an unemployed person should be searching. Then he must combine that, of course, with dua and tafweez. But he must make tadbir also. So tadbir is in its place. But I'm talking about when the person is going to learn to resign his will to the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That I did anything and everything that had to be done in the way that it should have been done. Now after that, whatever is the decision of my Allah Ta'ala, I must accept it. So we have to clearly understand that we cannot escape the decisions of Allah Ta'ala with regard to any matter in our lives. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has decided will happen, no matter how much we may wish otherwise. No matter how much we may wish that this mustn't happen like that, it mustn't happen like that. But if Allah Ta'ala wills, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. A person is taking a certain route to his business. Every day he travels on that road. For the past 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, he's taking that road to his business house. There are many people. For 30, 40 years, they just take one road and they go. And nothing has changed also. That road is there, the shop is still in the same place. And then one day when he is on that route, suddenly he is hijacked or he is held up. Now does it mean that if he had taken another road, then he wouldn't have been hijacked? Because there was no question of doing it purposely. It was not that he knew that the hijackers were waiting there and he was heading straight for them. And he was announcing boldly and loudly and clearly that I am ready to be hijacked. He was not doing anything like that. It was that same road that he was taking all the time. And on this particular day, at that moment in time, it was in his taqdeer to be hijacked. So he got hijacked. So now if this person has got tafweez, then he'll get back into action very quick. His life will begin rolling again. He's not going to go away into the room depressed and keep crying over the loss of his car, over the loss of his wife, or the loss of his child. Of course, there will be that natural grief that will be in the heart. But this person will not be so depressed that he starts saying that Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, didn't find anybody else. People actually say that. Or when sometimes a person dies, then they say that his untimely death. Don't we say that his untimely death? That means we were the ones who were going to decide when his time was right. Allah's decision was not right. So these are the things that bring about this depression. So our anxieties, depression and worries are all created because we first make the decisions and then expect Allah Ta'ala to conform. We make the decision first. And then we expect now Allah Ta'ala must conform. That all my plans as I have programmed and planned, then they must work out. Now when the person is in high expectation that it will materialize, then if something goes wrong, then what else is he going to have except depression? But if he did what had to be done and then accepted or made tafweez and he made up his mind that whatever happens now is the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and I'm going to accept Allah ta'ala's decision. So then if the decision was of failure, he'll accept, and if the decision was of success, he will accept. So our anxieties, depression and worries are all created because we first make the decisions and then expect Allah ta'ala to conform. Whereas what we plan and decide is subject to Allah Ta'ala's confirmation. Our plans, our decisions is subject to Allah Ta'ala's confirmation. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wills, then He will confirm it and He will allow the plan to materialize and this person will see the fruits of his endeavors. But if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not will, and this decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as I mentioned, is out of His wisdom. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making tarbiyah of the person. That just as the child requires sometimes a reprimanding and requires sometimes congratulations, in the same way here, every person has to be put through that process. That the person just cannot escape any kind of gham coming upon him, any kind of worry or any kind of grief throughout his life. If he says it will never come upon me, then he cannot, something will happen which will cause him grief, which will cause him sorrow, which will cause him pain. But the difference will be that this person, because he has made tafweez, so he will believe that it was my Allah, it is His decision, and whatever He has decided for me, there's nothing but khair in it. There's nothing but khair in it. And if this person ponders and reflects deeply, then he will, after some period of time, realize that there was nothing but khair in the decision of Allah Ta'ala. To save that person sometimes from further problems, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings about some immediate problem. And then when this person after 5 years, 10 years realizes or thinks, then he says, definitely that what happened at that time, it was good for me. Because if I had prolonged the whole issue, then it might have been worse. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He knows best what is good for His servants. So sometimes He sends good conditions and sometimes He sends adverse conditions. But this believer in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he accepts it to be the best decision. Of course, again, he does not do things in the wrong way, or he does not try to avoid tadbir altogether. He has to make use of the means. But after that, he accepts the decision and the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One murid, after having spent many years in the company of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he requested some parting advice. He said, "Oh Shaykh, now I'm returning, I want some parting advice." So he gave him two advices, two nasihats, as Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh gave to him. He said, one is, you must not claim divinity, you must not say I am Allah. And the other is that you must not claim nubuwat, that I am the prophet of Allah. Now, we would have given some other nasihat, that now you must make amal on this, make amal on that. Now look at the nasihat he's giving to him, that look, you must not claim that you are Allah, and you must not claim you are Nabi of Allah. Now it doesn't make sense that this murid, where will he go and claim that he is Allah Ta'ala? And especially after spending so many years in his company, do you think he's going to make such a claim that I am Allah? Or I am the Nabi of Allah? So he said, Hazrat, do you think that I'm going to make such a kind of claim, and especially after being in your company for so long? So then he explained that it is imperative that we must understand what it means. It is imperative that we must understand what these sayings of the awliya Allah, they mean. So he said that first thing is, that what is divinity? That whatever I decide must happen. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one, that whatever He decides happens. So now if you also want that anything and everything that you decide must happen, so it is claiming divinity. Because that is the sifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So here if this person, he says that whatever is my decision, it must happen like that. His expectation is that it must be it must happen like that. So then it is a sign that he is claiming divinity. He said, that is what I mean by don't claim divinity or don't claim that you are Allah. And the other thing is that don't claim nubuwat. It means that you must not think that you are sinless as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how much of time you may have spent in my company. But you must not think that you are masoom and sinless like a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that you can never make mistakes, that you can never fault, that you can never slip, that no error can take place in your life. You are protected and mahfooz and masoom. That is the sifat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam only. So don't claim divinity and don't claim nubuwat. So this is what it means. So now he gave him this advice. Now what we deduce from there is also the same lesson, that we must learn the art of tafweez. That we must not think that whatever is our decision, it must be fulfilled. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, in His wisdom it is good for us, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill it. And if Allah ta'ala wills otherwise, then we must believe that there is nothing but hikmat in it, there is nothing but wisdom in it, and there is nothing but khair in it. Now when the person is going to do this, then automatically he will find sukoon in his heart. Sukoon must come in his heart. But of course there was one Allah wala, when they asked him that how are you feeling, he says, what must you ask about one in accordance with whose wish and will the whole universe functions? He said, why? He said, what must you ask about the how you are feeling to a person in accordance with whose wish and will and desire the whole universe is functioning? So he said, but that is a kufr statement you are making. You are claiming divinity, because that only is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's prerogative, that whatever he decides happens. He said, yes, everything is happening according to my wish, my will, my desire. So one of us would have given fatwa straight away of kufr. But these Allah wala's, their statements also, we must consider it very carefully what they are getting at. So then he explained. He said that I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. I have resigned my will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. My decisions, my wish, my will, my desires, my will, I have resigned it to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will. That whatever Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, I am pleased with. So now whatever happens is happening according to my will. Because if, for example, if rain comes, then it is the will of Allah Ta'ala, He sent down rain, so I'm happy. If drought comes, so it is the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then I'm happy. If I have good health, then it is the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I'm happy. And if I have ill health, then I'm still happy. If I get food to eat, I'm happy. And if I have to starve, I'm happy. Why? Because it's the will of Allah Ta'ala. But of course, again, making use of the means after that, if still the person has to starve. One person was traveling, and he had plenty of money. In fact, those days they used to carry gold coins and go through. And they had to go through the jungles, and sometimes they used to get lost. So he took provisions and he was going. And he had a lot of gold coins too, that when he reaches the other side, wherever he was going to, then there he is going to spend the money. But he had enough food for the way. Now on the way that food got finished and he lost the way. He lost the way. So in the desert sands now he's walking and walking, can't find the way. The food got finished, he got tired, and he was about losing all hope. So he had his gold coins with him, so he spread those gold coins out on the sand. He spread the gold coins out on the sand. And there he said, I wish you were food which I could have put into my stomach and survived the ordeal. The gold coins is addressing them. Now here he's got gold coins, but he can't buy any food. So sometimes a person is making use of the means. The tadbir was there, that he took the food also and he took the gold coins also. But on the way he lost the route. So now this is what we mean by now this tafweez that he has to make. That now this was the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. that don't have great trust on these coins of yours, that if I have gold in my possession, then most certainly I will never ever suffer any kind of difficulty. That is our yaqeen these days. If you ask the person that do you worship idols, he say no. But if you tell him that if we slice some gold, big pieces and give you, then will it solve your problems? You say, yeah, then after that I'll have no problem in this world. So what does it mean? So Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach that lesson. So you can see that there was great wisdom in it, because this person would have never learned that lesson until that happened. And then again Allah Ta'ala suddenly sent somebody from somewhere and he found the way out. So these are recorded in Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi's kitab. So what I was discussing is this, that we have to learn to resign our will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. We must make use of the means, but don't trust in those means. When we are going to make tafweez of this nature, then depression will not come anywhere near the heart. There will be some pain, some difficulty, some kind of grief and some kind of sorrow, but the person will not suffer that kind of depression where he has to go on to tranquilizers, where he has to go on to drugs, and where after that he sometimes cannot even get up from his bed. Why? Because there's depression. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of having complete yaqeen and faith and trust in him. Make use of the means, but don't trust in the means. Inshallah, we'll continue with this next week, Monday, inshallah, at the same time. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Hey Allah, hamare saghira kabira, amadan khata'an zahiri batini, har guna ko maaf farna. Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. O Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. O Allah, bless us with tafweez in you. O Allah, bless us with yaqeen in you. O Allah, bless us with tawakkul in you. O Allah, bless us with firm faith in you. اے اللہ تیری ذات عالی پر یقین کامل نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے, عافیت دے, سلامتی دے, عزت دے. اے اللہ جو اس دنیا سے انتقال کر گئے ان کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما, جنت الفردوس کے اندر ان کو اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما. اے اللہ ہر قسم کی آفت سے, بلا سے, مصیبتوں سے, تکلیف سے اور پریشانیوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. او اللہ, وی آر ایکسٹریملی ویک, ڈو ناٹ ٹیسٹ اس, او مائی بلوڈ اللہ, ڈونٹ ٹیسٹ اس ان دس ورلڈ, ان دا قبر, ان دا آخر. یا اللہ, بلیس اس ود یور باؤنٹیز. وی نو وی آر ناٹ ڈیزرونگ, بٹ یا اللہ, آؤٹ آف یور رحمت اینڈ یور مرسی اینڈ یور کائنڈنس, بلیس اس ود دا بیسٹ آف دس ورلڈ اینڈ دا بیسٹ آف آخر. اینڈ ود دا ٹائم آف اور ڈیپارچر کم فرام دس ورلڈ, او اللہ, لیٹ دی لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ لیوز. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.